Welcome to the Point Blank Podcast, covering New York Islanders hockey. Here are your hosts, Brian Compton and Mike Carver.
Welcome to the season wrap-up edition of the Islanders Point Blank Podcast. B. Comp and Carver here with you in Midtown Manhattan. Lots to talk about. Mike, how are you?
Doing good, buddy. What's going on?
Beautiful day, finally, in New York,
lovely.
Right?
Can't beat it.
Jeez, I was in Pittsburgh for 5 days, dude. I don't think it got above 50 degrees. And
really?
It rained
still
every day.
Still chilly in the Berg?
Oh, it was terrible.
Did you have one of those sandwiches with the French fries on?
I did. Permane Brothers?
Yeah,
magic.
Good spot, right?
It's a wonderful place.
I was very foolish. The one time I was in Pittsburgh that year of the draft, I did not stop by there.
That's a bad job by me. We've now made it easier for you to listen to all of SNY.TV's original podcasts. If you're a fan of the Mets, Jets, Knicks, Rangers, Islanders, or college basketball and recruiting, just subscribe to the SNY.TV Audio Network on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. That's the SNY.TV Audio Network, and please make sure to rate and review our channel. First things first, congratulations to Islanders PR guru Kimber Auerbach. He and his wife had a baby boy a couple weeks ago.
Congratulations,
so Kimber's got two now. God bless. And some other big news, Mike. Howie Rose is leaving the Islanders booth after two decades.
Yes, Howie citing the travel a little bit too much. Howie has been doing it for a long time between the Mets and the Islanders. You know, it's a lot to be time away from the family, Bri.
And he's so, 62 years old.
Yeah, and he's been doing it forever. You know, hockey and baseball, yeah. He's been doing it for a long time. So
it's a lot of
Howie going to have the winters off now? He gets to hang out down in Florida during
the
winter.
Got his condo in West Palm.
That's
good
it.
For
so
Howie.
That's what Howie will do now in the winters.
Who do you think takes over?
It's very interesting, Bri. I'm not too sure. Obviously, you got Chris King, who's been doing the radio for a long time. There could be some other guys in play. Who knows what else might be out there? Maybe take a guy who's been doing some play-by-play in a smaller market for a while on TV. Who knows? But that should be an interesting thing to look out for this summer as well. Who'll be doing the TV for the Islanders next year?
Matt Lachlan will be great.
I love Matty.
Yeah.
You know that. I work with Matty, of course, at the Fan. He does the
Chris
Devils
King
on the
would
radio
be great. And, like, there's so many good guys who are capable of doing
yes,
it.
Yes, Chris is great. I love Kinger. Kinger's been doing radio, though. He hasn't done a lot of TV, so
right. We'll
see. My personal favorite is Jiggs, but Jiggs is done. We know Jiggs isn't
people
coming
keep
back
asking
to do
about
a full
Jiggs.
Schedule.
Guys, he's pushing 80.
He's pushing 80.
Right.
Loves being down there with his wife down in Florida. He loves right. All that stuff, so. Jiggs likes doing his 10 to 12 games a year, but
Absolutely. Don't
expect him to do 82.
Mike and I are going to have some fun today. We're going to do a rapid-fire analysis. We're going to go up and down the roster, left and right. You ready to do it, buddy?
Yeah, let's rock, bro.
Start with the goalies?
Yeah,
Thomas Greiss.
Thomas Greiss, I thought he had an outstanding year. Me and you pumped him up throughout the season. We thought he was the first half MVP.
Yep.
He was great in the Florida series, of course. Him and Johnny were the reason why they advanced.
No question.
I can't fault him much for what happened in the Tampa series.
No.
I really can't.
No, you can't.
And in my opinion, he is the Islanders' 1A goaltender going into training camp in September.
And 1B/2 will be Jean-Francois Berube, Mike. The Islanders love this kid. We're going to get to Yarrow in a second here. This kid's work ethic was off the charts all season long. He was in a tough spot being the third goalie. Didn't get a whole lot of playing time all season long. Took it like a champ. He will be... I don't know how it's going to shake out, whether Greiss is the clear-cut number one. This could be like one guy plays 45, the other guy plays the rest, but Berube is the other guy.
They like
mix.
Berube that
they
much where you could see him playing 30 games
yep. Next
season, no doubt about it. He's an RFA this year. They'll work that out. Greiss has 1 year left at 1.5. So big year for Greiss also, coming off a big playoff. Maybe he has a big regular season. Thomas Greiss has a chance to earn himself his first big contract in the NHL. Berube, I think, is good for 30 games next year. Be nice to see him get in the mix.
And I know people think trade Greiss. They're not trading Thomas Greiss.
No. I don't
but
like
who
that
they are trading is Yaroslav Halak.
Yes.
And Mike and I have been hinting at this for a couple of weeks here. $4.5 million for another 2 years. I did some research last night, Mike. Calgary, which I think is the ideal fit, they have 3 second-round picks in this upcoming draft.
Okay.
The Islanders don't have any.
Yes.
So if you can
no
get
no seconds or no thirds.
Yeah. So if you can get one of those twos, if I'm Garth, I say, whichever two you want to give me, you get Yarrow.
And Calgary's a place that for the last couple of seasons has been looking for a number one goaltender to step up and be that guy. Yarrow maybe would be a nice fit there. We heard from Yarrow at the breakup day. Doesn't sound like he was thrilled with the three goalie
situation.
Didn't
hide his feelings whatsoever.
He's going to be having this groin surgery now, which we found out. So clearly he wasn't ready to go anyway in the playoffs, even if he could have played, tried to play. So I think that Yarrow's time as an Islander is done. I thank him for his contributions,
yep.
But we'll see you soon.
And I know, I think, and Yarrow had a great year last year. He really did.
He did.
But what Islander fans need to keep in mind here is who they had before Yarrow.
Right.
So when Yarrow comes in and performs adequately, which is what he did as a number one in the NHL, you think he's Henrik Lundqvist or
well,
Carey
yeah.
Price. Or
especially coming off of the Nabokov, DiPietro, right. Montoya kind of three-headed monster that you had for a few years there. And a couple other guys sprinkled in here and there, the Kevin Poulins of the world.
Joey McDonald, the
yeah.
Jan Denis.
So,
I mean, the list goes
Yarrow
on.
Yarrow really stabilized
he was a
the
major upgrade,
situation
but
last
he's
year.
Not a top 10 goalie in the NHL.
And when you saw what Greiss could do in the playoffs, Yarrow at 4.5 for the next
right.
2 years, when there's other potential things that could happen
Bingo.
To get that 4.5 off, that's a big move that the Islanders need to make.
Let's move on to the defense. Ryan Pulock or Pollock or
Ryan Pollock.
Pollock.
Come on.
What do you think?
I think that Ryan next year is a mainstay. He is part of the every night roster.
Yeah.
None of this, when is Ryan going to play? When is he going to be in there? I think opening night, going into the season, going into training camp,
he's Thomas
unless
Hickey's
he
partner
screws
on the third
up,
pairing.
He is in the top six.
Agreed.
He's part of the mix.
Brian Strait, thank you for your services.
Yeah, I think that's it for Bri.
Let's stop picking on him now. He's not coming back.
Leave him alone, guys. He's a UFA.
He's
hopefully,
an adequate seventh defenseman. That's
he's
who he
a guy
is.
You could slide in when somebody gets hurt. Was he... Did he play more than a seventh defenseman
right.
for the Islanders?
Played too much. He played too
yes,
much.
Yes, he played too much. But I think now it's time. You're going to see him go, especially with, like we just said, with, and we'll talk about this with the other guys. The Islanders now have a nice core of seven guys going forward
yeah.
that Strait really isn't in the mix anymore.
Including Adam Pellich, who had a tough year with the surgery that he had, but showed signs that he could be a really good, steady defenseman in the years to come.
Absolutely. When you saw him come in, Bri, for those couple of games in January, he really impressed.
Yeah.
Remember him in that Ranger game?
The Ranger game, he was great.
Played very well.
Yeah.
I think he's a guy who next year starts off as that seventh defenseman. He'll be the guy that slides in when guys need, you know, guys get banged up, guys need to go out, you know, things like that. Who knows what's going to happen with, we'll talk about Boychuk in a second, but I think Pellick will be a guy who's in the mix here next year. I like him a lot, impressed me. Seems like he's ready to go after being out for a few months. So I think he's going to be a good help to the Isles going forward.
Marek Zielicki, thank you for your services. See you later.
You know,
he was okay.
Like, he was okay.
Right.
I thought that
53 games. That's a little bit much for me.
Yeah. I mean, 53. I guess you wanted. Where'd you want him in the low 40s?
Yeah,
you wanted him.
Yeah.
You wanted him to play half the games this year.
Fair.
I guess. I thought that there was nights when he was out there and he was fresh.
What should have happened, Mike, is he plays the first 3 months and then they call up Pollock and we don't see Marek Zielicki again. That's how it should have gone down.
Yeah, I thought he gave you a little more this year than what Vyshnovsky gave you the year before.
Yeah.
What do you think? I mean, I think he was brought
Viz
in to
is better
fill...
in his own end.
Yes, absolutely. Viz a better,
right.
quote-unquote, defenseman
yes.
in your own zone.
Yes.
But I thought he did an okay job for what he was brought in to do. And like you say, maybe a few more games than he needed to play, but he won't be back next year.
He will
year.
Not
we know
be
that.
Back. UFA. Johnny Boychuk, he'll be back. And
he'll be back.
We,
he'll
we
be
talked,
back for a while.
As we talked about, was it last week or 2 weeks ago? I can't even keep track of these things. But Johnny said after breakup day, that nothing was wrong with him after the playoffs, and that scares me, Mike, because
well,
he was not good.
You got another 6 years at $6 million
yep.
per. He's 32 years old. Now, we know we weren't signing, you know, when you made that deal, it wasn't for the back end of that contract. We know that.
Garth had to sign him.
But
he had to.
You had to get in the first 3 or 4 years of that contract
right.
what we thought we saw last year.
Yeah.
I'm a little concerned by him saying there's nothing wrong with him. I'm hoping that he's just playing tough guy here
yeah.
and he's just not saying anything because he looked hurt and he didn't look like the same player that we saw a year ago in the 2014-15 season. I thought he was different this year, Bri. Shoulder injury in January, was out for a little bit, came back, wasn't the same player in my opinion.
Travis Hamonic.
Well, we talked about this last
Thank
week.
Thank God he will be back.
The big news with Travis, who's also signed for another 4 years after this one
yeah.
at a very good rate.
One of the best contracts in the NHL.
One of the best contracts in the NHL. He gets 3.8 for the next 4 years,
yep.
which is really solid for a guy who plays the amount of minutes that he does. This was a key thing, him last week saying that he pulled back the trade request. He'll be on the island. He'll be in Brooklyn, wherever you want to say. And he's going to be a part of this core And that is very good for the Islanders. And he had a very good year.
Travis had a fantastic year, particularly in the – I thought he was great in the playoffs.
He was very good.
He really stepped up.
He stepped up where Johnny – like I said, I thought Johnny was hurt, and I thought Travis really stepped up and showed you what that he is, that top two guy.
Terrific news that Travis will still be in the fold here in New York. Thomas Hickey, this is a guy I think we should spend a minute on. He really stepped up in the playoffs. All the knocks that everybody said, he's not tough enough, he gets thrown around. Remember the hit on Jurand at Barclays Center? That was a phenomenal hit. Thomas Hickey really stepped up in these playoffs.
I think, Brian, you noticed Hickey, his value to this team in the games that he did not play.
Right.
When he missed games this year, you were like, man, you know, it really does.
Something
they
was
are
off,
hurt
right?
when Hickey's not out there because he stabilizes the back end of those defensemen. You know, when you have six guys and you could put a guy like him in that, you know, 4-5-6 slot, it really helps out. He showed that this year, and he's a big part of this team going forward. And you know, a lot of Islander fans didn't like when they re-signed him, but I think it's
a big
help here, and he showed this year that he can get it done.
And had a knack for the big goal.
Had a knack. Right? Had a couple overtime winners
huge
this
goals.
Year. Couple
Washington
of big
to
goals.
Clinch a playoff spot, the Florida game.
He had the Florida winner, which was when he snuck in there from the blue line, a great goal there to win game, what was that, game two, I
game
believe.
Game three.
Yes, game three. So great job by Hickey, and he's a good part of this team going forward.
Speaking of great contracts, Nick Leddy is going to prove to be a phenomenal deal.
Yes, still young, 25 years old.
When he skates, it's like baby-making music, bro. It's a beautiful thing to watch.
Wasn't there this year for me on the score sheet, like he was in previous years.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
And do you think that his defensive side was up this year? Did you think that he was better
in
his
own
end?
Yeah.
Did you think that?
I'll make that trade 10 times out of 10.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If he's going to improve on his own end, which I think he did a little bit this year.
Agreed.
He'll take that little bit of a hit on the score sheet, but you could still see he set up the series winning or the tying goal in game 6 against Florida. That was all him. But Johnny got the put in. But Leddy was the guy who took that from behind their own net. He made that play. So you have that. But was he not noticeable at times?
His second half was way better than his first half.
Oh, his first half.
At least from an offensive standpoint.
He was a ghost in the first half on the score sheet.
He scored December 12th or
I believe
something.
It was December because we sat here
we
week after week.
We spent the first 12 weeks.
Well, Nick Leddy hasn't scored yet. So good job by Nick this year. Proving a little bit on the back end. Still young, still a lot of years left on the deal. Very friendly for the Islanders.
Calvin DeHaan.
You know, I
thought Calvin he didn't contribute a lot offensively. I thought he had a really good year. He was very steady in his own end, blocked a ton of shots.
I thought he had a good year, but I thought he wore down at the end.
At the end.
I think that the end of the season.
That's what happens when you block 300 shots, right?
And I think that this is, you know, he actually didn't have any of those long stretches where he was out this year.
No, he was healthy.
No, he actually was healthy for most of the year. Got a little bit at the end of the year. I think he missed a couple games.
He played in 72 games.
72.
Which for Calvin DeHaan is pretty good.
Well, for him is good, and I think he wore down a little at the end. I didn't think he was great in the playoffs.
No, he wasn't.
I didn't think he was great. But going forward, he's obviously a big part of the team. I used to really kill him for never being on the ice, and he was on the ice this year, so you got to give him credit for that. But I think that we'll see next year. I'd like to see him be a little stronger towards the end.
Let's move on to the forwards. This one pains me because I don't think he's going to be back. And he's been so good to me since he first came up several years ago. Matt Martin, such a good dude.
Matt
had
great.
A really good year. Showed that he can contribute offensively. He's always leading the league in hits. But at the end of the day, we live in a salary cap world. I think somebody's going to wow him on July 1st if he gets to that point. I think he will. And Garth just has to make the right business decision, Mike, right?
Yeah, I think that he's going to be offered a contract.
Similar to what Brandon Press got several years ago, like 4 years, $11 million, something like that. I just don't know if you can do that.
I don't know if he's worth that contract. Listen, he brings a lot
to
the
table. 27, but by the game that's the style of game that Matt plays, by the time he's 30, how much gas is going to be left in that tank?
That's very true. He's all out every single shift. He's throwing his body around. What did you think before he was kind of linked up with Cizikas and Clutterbuck here? Did you have the same feeling about Matty before he was linked up with these guys?
I always thought he was capable of contributing more. If this is a kid who scored 30, he's not a kid anymore, he's 27, but he scored 35 goals in his last year of junior hockey, Mike.
Do you attribute a lot of his success the last two or three years to playing on that solid fourth line, best fourth line in the league, Do you think that if he gets a big money deal from some other team and he doesn't have those two guys with him anymore,
right,
is he worth the same amount that he's going to get for what he's done?
So many variables. It depends on where he lands and who he's going to play with. Will he have – I can't imagine wherever he goes, he's going to have the same chemistry that he had with Casey and Cal.
That's
right?
The thing. You're paying Matt Martin, and I think that what he's going to get is based off of what he's done being part of this grade fourth line. He's not going to have those two guys.
So does he say to himself, let me take less money and not break up the band? Sydney's here. Hi, Sid.
Hi, by the way. Hi, Sid. Yes. Well, I know that Sydney's dad would like to see him go over to the blue shirts. And I, you know what? Matt Martin's the type of player that the Rangers need.
Yeah.
So who knows? We'll see what happens. Man, with that Anger Islander fans.
Oh, man.
Matt Martin in a Ranger jersey.
Look out.
It could happen.
That would be tough, folks. That would be tough. Casey Cizikas, speaking of the fourth line. Yeah, I thought Casey had a terrific year. I really did. To the point where I think at some point, probably not next year, we'll see, but he could be a third line center, not a fourth line
Absolutely.
Center.
I thought it was his best year as an Islander. I thought he did an outstanding job.
29 points.
He chipped in. When you get 29 points from a fourth line center,
yeah,
that's
huge.
Pretty solid
that's
in this
huge.
League. And you're right. I think he has the skills that he could eventually move up to that. And if Matt Martin is gone, Bri,
right,
I could see a scenario where Casey and Cal are third line guys playing with somebody else.
We'll talk about Franz in a minute, but I think a lot depends on what happens with
Absolutely.
Franz.
But I thought Casey had a real good year. His best year as an Islander.
Cal Clutterbuck,
Mr.
Clutch goals.
A lot of clutch
scored
goals.
Scored 15 goals this year.
Almost had the winner in game three against Tampa.
Yeah.
If they could have just shut the door.
I know.
Had a couple of big ones this year. Winners against the Rangers. A few other late game goals that Cal scored. We're not going to talk about the trade that brought him here. We've kind of beat that around this year. I know, I'll never, for the wrong reasons, be into it. But Cal had a really strong year. Showed you some offensive skill. And I think he did a nice job this year for the Isles.
Ryan Strome did not have a great year. This was a kid I thought was going to have a phenomenal year, Mike, to the point where I said 60 or 70 points. I was way off. For whatever reason, it just didn't work out for Ryan this year. But like Arthur told us last week, Ryan will be back, and he might be back with a vengeance. He's a driven kid and has to prove that he can play at this level.
I need to see it, Bri. We all do. We need to see it from this guy.
I shouldn't say play at this level. Be not elite scorer, but a top six forward.
He's got to show it because if there's one thing that the Islanders need, the big gaping hole on this team right now is top six forwards.
Yeah.
And they need guys who can go in and fill that role. And Ryan is supposed to be a guy to do it. He's been in the league a couple years now. He took a couple of lumps this year, being sent down, being sat in playoff games. He should sit around this summer and go, I'm coming out this year and I'm making it happen. And if he could do that and he could take that next step, be huge for the Islanders because they need somebody like that. We know the kid has the ability, Brian.
No question.
We just have to see it.
Let's mix it up. Let's talk about a couple of the kids. Michael Dalcol. This was somebody who had a really good second half after being traded in juniors. Got to Bridgeport at the end. It sounded like Brent Thompson wasn't crazy about his 5-on-5 play, so he didn't play a whole lot. I think he's going to get every chance in camp, but I think when push comes to shove, Dalcol will be in Bridgeport.
I think he's still a year away.
Yeah.
I think it would be good for Dalcol to spend an entire season in Bridgeport.
I think so too.
And who knows? You know, maybe you get to February and March. He's having a big year. Somebody gets hurt. As always happens throughout the course of an NHL season. And maybe by that point, he has shown Brent Thompson. Because we know one thing. Garth and Jack and the Islander brass, they lean on Brent Thompson a lot.
Huge.
With these guys in Bridgeport.
Yep.
And if Brent thinks that that Michael's getting it done, maybe we see him in February and March. But I don't think he'll be on the roster.
Agreed.
Opening night. I think he would benefit strongly from an entire 80 year in the AHL.
Josh Hosang will not be on the roster. I want to see this kid in the second day of camp. First things first.
Well, that's
his biggest
issue.
Can't pull another stunt. I don't care how well he played in junior this year until he proves that he can be an adult. I know that he's still a kid, but if you're going to play in the NHL, you got to be older than what the birth date says, right? So
absolutely,
he's got to prove to me that he's capable mentally and emotionally of playing at this level.
You said it right there, Bri. I think we know that this kid has all the ability in the world. We know he can play hockey on the ice. But when the general manager sends you home the first day of training camp.
And Garth did the right thing.
Oh, he did the right
thing. See you later.
Get lost.
Yep.
And I was very happy when Garth did that. Like you said, come to camp and make it a couple days in.
Yep.
Show up.
Put your big boy pants
be
on.
Be a professional.
Yep.
Be an adult. Play some hockey, show the guys you could do it, and maybe your stock will improve through the organization this year.
Let's go back to the big roster here. Steve Bernier, one goal in 24 games, got some playing time in the playoffs. He will not be back.
See ya.
Agreed?
Oh, dude, I'm not spending more than 10 seconds on Bernier. Get out of here.
Here's a big one. Franz Nielsen. I think when push comes to shove, he's going to stay. I think Arthur had the same feeling last week. If he gets to July 1st, he's gone because he's going to get a huge contract from somebody. This is still, to this day, one of the more nobody talks about how good Franz is.
I was going to
ask far
you,
as the two-way game is concerned.
You know, talking to guys around the league, and you know a lot of guys. You got a lot of NHL, a lot of NHL.com guys spread out throughout the country. Talking to guys, what is the league-wide feeling on Franz Nielsen in terms of, is he a top six forward? Is he going to get big money? Is he a guy around the league who other teams are targeting this year? Because we're going to talk about at the end. Yeah. This list of free agents this year, it stinks. So is Franzi going to be a guy who's going to generate a lot of interest?
I think on a really good team, a contending team, I think you'll agree with this. Franz is your prototypical number three center.
I agree with you.
I know he had chemistry with Johnny on the left wing, and he can help out in a pinch as a top-line forward. But if you're going to win a Stanley Cup, Franz Nielsen is the guy who can help you on the third line.
I agree with you 1,000%.
And that's why you have to ask yourself, do you pay a third-line center $5.5 million per?
I like Franz.
I love Franz.
I don't think he's a top-six forward.
I don't think he is either. I think he's essential to what the Islanders are trying to do here. And
he
alleviates a lot off of Johnny from a defensive standpoint. And I don't know if the Islanders can take the next step without Franz. I really don't think they can.
But I think
because
they can,
we've seen what Brock is, and we'll get to Brock in a second here. Unless Brock makes that monumental step, unless Matthew Barzal, another kid we'll talk about in a second, can play in the NHL next season, where is Strome going to play? These are questions that they can't answer until they know if Franz is going to be in the fold. And again, the Islanders are on the right track here, even if Kyle doesn't re-sign. But without Franz, I don't know if they can continue to make strides.
I agree with you.
I just think he's more essential to what they're trying to do than Kyle. I really do.
I agree there, and we'll get to Kyle. But I do agree with you on that point. I just feel like you said, he would be a guy on a Stanley Cup contender that would be perfect as your third-line center. And I think he gets put in a position on this team right now that's a little bit more.
He's asked to do too much.
He's asked to do a little bit more than I think his abilities maybe are there for. And I think he would be a perfect third line center. I love what he's done. He's been great with the club. But I think that his role and his skill set is better suited centering a third line and not being a top six guy.
Agreed.
That's just me.
No, I agree with you. Let's go to Brock. 26 goals, had a great start, then went cold. Was kind of a ghost in the playoffs. He's had a maddening season for me, Mike, but I still think, and Arthur agrees with me, at least judging by what he said last week, I still think he can be a number two center in this league.
I don't know.
He scored 26 goals, Mike.
I know, Bri, but I am so turned off by what I saw out of this guy in the playoffs.
Yeah, no, I know.
I really am. I thought his effort was poor. I thought there were nights that he just wasn't into it. You could just tell watching him. And you know what killed me, too? He was pushed around a little bit. He didn't make...
Needs to bulk up a little bit this summer.
He needs to bulk up, and I think he needs to get... Listen, I hate saying guy... You know that the typical sports phrase, a guy is soft.
Right.
You know, I don't want to say that. These guys are professional hockey players. None of them are soft, okay?
Right.
But I think that he... A little bit more toughness...
I agree.
...out of Brock. Mental toughness, whatever you want to call it, I think would go a long way for him.
Unless Garth gets knocked
by the playoffs,
over, he's coming back.
I can't put this guy in the top six mix right now. I know he scored 26 goals, but I need to see this guy in a more consistent basis. And in those 26 goals, how many were in like one of those streaks? Because he's very streaky with the goals.
He's a very streaky player.
Very streaky goal scorer. Is the contract friendly the next few years? Yeah, 2.5 for the next couple of years. We got to see it from Brock. I got to see it.
Agreed. Josh Bailey. This one's tough for me. I think logic tells me, just going by his contract, that he's probably going to be back. He's making a little bit too much for what his numbers tell me,
well,
Mike.
Yeah, he makes more than over $3 million a year.
I think there's a decent shot here that Josh gets traded.
Still 26 years old.
Right.
And you think that it would be good for him, a little change of scenery?
I do, because I like Josh a lot. He's another guy that's been really good to me since the day he got here.
And he's good to
was
the,
thrown
I know
into a situation before he was ready. I mean, playing in this league as an 18-year-old was a joke. I know it was several years ago now. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But
And in the league
he's always going to be equated to where he was selected in the draft. People expect him to be a 75-point guy because he was the ninth pick.
Never will be that.
Josh Bailey is a 40 to 50-point guy year in, year out, who plays solid at both ends of the ice. That's just who he is.
They need to, if they can find a partner for a kind of trade, I would explore it. I would explore it, but I wouldn't have a problem if he's back next year either. I think that he's good on the third line.
Yeah.
I think he's okay if giving you third line minutes.
Agreed.
You know, I sound like a broken record. I'm saying this around a lot of the guys here
on this
roster.
There's a lot of third line players.
There's a lot of guys on this roster who are third line players. I'm thinking to myself right now while we're doing this, man, I feel like every guy I'm saying this guy is not a top six player.
Agreed. Let's go through this one quick. Barzal Beauvillier. I think Barzal, out of all the kids, has the most legit shot to make the team out of camp. Beauvillier will be back in June.
Before that last week of the season, I texted you that one day, if you remember, and I was going to say to you, if Barzal loses here, can we get him in the mix?
Right, I remember that.
Because I was going to push for, why not throw this guy in, a la what, you know, the Rangers did with Kreider a few years ago. Just throw him in right out of junior, bang, into a big spot. Let's see what the kid has, because they weren't getting the offense from anybody else.
Yeah.
I like this guy a lot, bro. He's highest with me, like you just said, in terms of all these kid forwards that haven't gotten in the NHL yet. He is at the top of my list.
Agreed.
You think if he has a really strong camp,
I think he makes the roster? I think he makes the team if he has a good camp.
He's got to show me. This is another one of these guys. You draft him really high,
first-round
pick. That could maybe be a guy that you hit on as a top six guy.
Nikolai Kuhlman, 2 more years at 4.1. It's a boatload of money.
A lot of money for
a guy
who
doesn't
score
goals. I wish he would
score
more goals, but I think they need him just for his defense, Mike. Honestly.
I agree with
you. How many really good defensive forwards do the Islanders have?
Who's the guy that we wanted on the ice in the last minute there in game three against Tampa? We wanted Kuhlman on the ice. He's not going to score you any goals. At least use him for what you have him for. You're paying the guy $4 million plus. Put him on the ice in a big defensive situation.
Nine goals in 81 games, bro.
That's tough for a guy you're paying $4 plus million.
Sweet
nine
Moses.
Goals? Guy doesn't score, bro.
Not good.
You want me to use my line again?
Go ahead.
Not a top six.
Mikhail Grabowski.
What's the deal here?
Yeah.
Is this guy, and listen, he's had a lot of concussions.
He's not going to retire.
He's not
walking away from that money. But so what needs to happen, or what?
And you can't buy him out because he was on IR.
With these concussions, they can't. So what?
Yeah.
I think the only logical solution, if they can make it work, is put him on long-term IR. Get him off the cap, and you still pay him. And that's just the end. They need that money on their cap.
The main thing here is his health. Okay.
Right. Well, sure.
And if he can't play anymore, like you said, they've got to find a solution to.
And what I just meant to say was they need that money elsewhere.
Right. Oh, they need that money.
They don't need that money.
He's also making big money.
That's not what I meant.
He's making big money for the next couple of years,
yeah.
And you got to find a way to free that up. I wish that he could play. It's just the guy, unfortunately, his health comes first, and clearly the doctors don't want him playing hockey right now. It's just that simple.
Alan Quine.
What a surprise.
Yeah.
You know, coming in the last weekend, played the entire year at Bridgeport. Nice job getting the game winner there down in Florida in game five in the double overtime. But what do you think about him in the mix next year? I don't know, Bri. I think I got to see where else they go in July at free agency or what happens at the draft before I can put Alan Quine on this team.
I'm not sure if this team is going to consider itself a contender if he's amongst the top nine forwards. I don't know how realistic that is.
Yeah, well, there could be a spot on the
fourth like
line
him.
Opening up.
He works his tail off, but let's get that out of the way. He cannot be John Tavares' left wing.
No. Alan Quine is not a top line player, guys.
He's not top six. And with
no.
how many third line players are they going to have, Mike?
Yeah, you can't do it. Now, I thought he did a nice job.
He did.
I don't know.
It was
if he's
a very nice story for a while.
I don't know if he's an 82
like I said,
game NHL player. I don't know.
If you guys want to have a parade, whether it's the Canyon Heroes or Hempstead Turnpike, wherever you guys want to have it, I'm not sure Alan Quine can play a major role.
Be the corner of Flatbush and Atlantic, Brian.
You think?
That's where the parade would be.
With all those cars, how are you going to clear those roads?
We'll make it happen.
Anders Lee, I feel for this guy. I mean, he came on really strong right before he broke his leg. He had a really tough 3 or 4 months to the season there, Mike, but. He's another guy like Strome. I think he's got to come back and prove that he can be a top six forward.
Well, you know me, Bri. I've got a severe man crush on Anders Lee.
Because he went to Notre Dame.
He's the pride of South Bend. Not only that, I love the way he plays. I love that he gets in front of the net. I think that he could. I've always thought that he could fill one of the roles next to Johnny.
Yeah.
I think they do need somebody else next to him, but I think he could be the third guy on that line next to Johnny. Crushing that he got hurt in the playoffs, he could have been a big help to them. He had started to get it, really, really started to get it going down the stretch in March before he got injured. And after last year sitting in the Washington series in Game 6 and 7, I was dying to see him get a taste of the playoffs again. Got him under contract for the next couple of years. I think that Lee still could be a player. I think out of these other guys, the Stroms, the Nelsons, these guys that we've seen now, I think Lee has the biggest upside in terms of potentially being a guy that can crack in and being one of those top six guys.
Are you more confident that Lee bounces back or Strom bounces back? They're both capable.
I'm partial to Lee. Okay. So that's just me. I think he fits with Johnny better than any of these other guys.
Kyle Okposo.
Well, I think we've seen Kyle Okposo play his last game as a New York Islander. We've talked to Arthur about this. We've talked to a lot of people about this, and it's pretty obvious that Kyle is going to be elsewhere next year.
You can't give Kyle 7 years and $42 million.
He's not worth it. He's not, and he's not.
What did you see from those playoffs that leads you to believe that he is a 7 year, $42 million?
He's not an elite scorer.
There's just not enough there.
He's not an elite scorer. He's not. He's a second line player.
The play in Game 3 against Tampa with the Durant pass, like that stuff can't happen.
Yeah. He's not an elite player, Brian. No. He's not a 7 year, $49 million contract player, which is what I think somebody is going to foolishly give him. So
he's going to get it from he'll probably get it from somebody.
Thank you for your years of service.
Yep.
But we'll
really,
see you,
really
Kyle.
Good,
good
guy.
Luck to you wherever
best
you go.
You and your
go
family.
To the Western Conference. I don't need to see you all of a sudden scoring big goals against the Islanders
for the
in a
Flyers.
Playoff series. Yeah. Well, that's the type of team that give him that kind of money.
That's true.
You know it is.
I know.
So he's going to get the money somewhere, and it's not going to be in Brooklyn. So it's been fun, Kyle, but we'll see you down the road.
Shane Prince, we kind of shrugged our shoulders when the trade was made when we had our show right after the deadline, showed flashes again. This can't be the guy playing on John Tavares' left opening night.
No, this is the same thing as Alan Quine to me.
Right.
Obviously, he's got more NHL experience than Alan Quine, but I put him in the same boat there. He's an RFA, I believe, so we'll see what,
He'll get a qualifying.
He'll get a qualifying, who knows. He could be on the roster next year, depending on what happens.
And last but not least, John Tavares.
The captain!
Yes.
Big year for Johnny.
Was it a big year?
Big year.
Game 6 made it a big year.
That's what made it a big year. Because we did sit here.
It wasn't a great year.
If we remember, we sat here week after week from November to the All-Star break. After the All-Star break, he turned it on.
Yeah.
After Nashville, I think he played at a John Tavares level. But we did sit here from November to Nashville, and he wasn't doing much.
No.
He was quiet. We thought, is he hurt? What's going on? Maybe it's just the guys around him?
Yeah.
Who knows? But Johnny is the captain. He delivered this team to their first round victory in 22 years. So some things to check off on the checklist for Johnny this year, but still a lot more work to do.
Two more years left on John Tavares' contract at $5.5 million, Mike. This guy needs help. And here's what I've been told from somebody somewhat in the know that I thought was very interesting.
You got a little insider for me? What do you got?
Look, everybody's going to be involved here. So let me preface it by saying that. But if Steven Stamkos gets to July 1st, I've been told that the Islanders are going to be major players.
Is that right?
That's what I've heard.
Really?
And I know people are going to say, well, how do you pay Stamkos 12 and then you can't pay Johnny in 2 years? Here's my response. Who cares about 3 years down the road? If you can get Steven Stamkos, who has known Johnny since they were infants and played together
played everything
back
together.
In Ontario.
Pee-wees, the whole deal.
The next 2 years have to be about appeasing John Tavares. If you're going to get rid of Kyle Okposo, another guy who is very close to Tavares, much like Matt Molson a few years back, you better bring somebody in the fold that's going to make John Tavares happy. And I can't imagine there's anybody that would make John Tavares happier than Steven Stamkos.
Now, that is a very bold and splashy move, which the people that run the Barclays Center would absolutely love.
Right.
I can tell you that.
Right.
Would the Islanders, and they've got new ownership coming in on July 1st, a splashy move for them as well. Like you said, there's going to be a lot of players involved here.
Everybody.
Whether you're, and he's not going to Toronto, but Toronto will be involved.
Right. Montreal,
the Buffaloes, the Montreals,
Tampa,
Detroit.
I still think when push comes to shove, he's going back to Tampa.
But you think the Islanders will dip their toes in the water
here? If he makes
it
to July 1.
And he's making it to July 1, I think.
Yeah.
I think he's making it to July 1 at this point.
I would agree with that. I think
he's going to be there. Because really quick, and we've gone through all the guys in the roster, and one factor, you know, one common thread as we talked about is we didn't say there's a lot of guys who fit a top six role or a quote-unquote sniper who could sit next to Johnny. Now, Steven Stamkos is obviously that.
How much
he's
fun
also
would that
a center.
Be to watch, dude?
Would he play on the wing? I mean, you play those guys in the same line, or do you go like a Blackhawks where they split up Kane and Taze and you have Johnny on one line, Steven on the other, and then no forwards to play with either of them? So that could be outstanding too.
I think, again, it goes back to a guy like Franz.
And we're dreaming here. I mean, this is so far down the line, this Stamkos stuff. But I looked at the list of free agent forwards on July 1st, and we'll be fast with this.
Yeah.
You tell me if any of these guys fit the bill.
Go.
Eric Staal.
No.
All right, Stamkos we just talked about. Milan Lucic.
Yes.
You think he fits the bill?
Yes.
Okay. If you Patrick Elias.
No.
Shane Doan.
No.
He's 1,000 years old.
I know, but I like him.
But he's 1,000 years old. Sam Gagne.
No.
Tuomo Ruutu.
No.
David Backes.
Yes.
Okay, Backes.
When they lose Kyle, I think Backes is a logical short-term
Teddy Purcell.
Replacement. Maybe.
Christopher Stieg.
Winning pedigree.
Louis Erickson.
These names are terrible. He doesn't do it for
Yuri
me.
Yuri Hudler.
I like Yuri, but no.
Come on. David Perron.
Great hands.
All right, great hands.
Could be a fit with Johnny.
Boddicker. Brower.
No.
Tanguay.
I like Brower.
Bork.
You don't like
Gustav,
Troy Brower?
Grabner.
Wait a minute. Why don't you like it? Don't throw this
these
list.
These names are terrible.
Do you memorize it? What are you doing here?
These names are terrible.
Why don't you like Troy Brower?
Come on. We're talking about a top-line forward who will be with Johnny and put pucks in the net.
Understand.
Troy Brower does not fit that bill.
I want winners, though, at the same time.
And then finally, your favorite name of all.
Andrew Ladd.
Andrew Ladd.
Yes. Yes.
Who I still don't believe is the sniper that they
He's
need.
Not, but I want him in that locker room.
You want him in the locker room, that's fine.
How many
you
more?
You like this list that I just threw on the
floor?
No,
it's not a great list.
Okay.
I said yes to a couple of guys and no to more, right?
Okay, fine.
I want Andrew Ladd in that locker room for reasons like Game 5 against Tampa Bay and Game 7 against Washington.
No,
period.
No Kyle.
How many times do we have to watch the Islanders get eliminated in that fashion?
Yeah, it was embarrassing. Very embarrassing. So there's a few guys on this list that you like. I like Backes, I don't think Backes is a Johnny
left or right wing type of guy. He plays a similar style to Kyle.
Will there be any
players? And
they're going
to lose Kyle.
Will there be any players that I'm looking for available at the draft via trade?
Such as?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
Give me a name.
I don't know. I did free agency today. I didn't go through who's going to be available in a trade. I'm asking you if there
via trade.
I don't think so. Nobody that we're talking about. We said we're really complaining here today. The team just
really
won a round.
There's nobody really out there up front. I think Edmonton, Jordan Eberle,
Taylor Hall.
But who are you trading? I mean, Travis Hamonic was the
that
guy.
That was the deal. That was the deal.
And
that
now
deal
that's
is
out
gone.
The window. So who are they trading for a Taylor Hall or a Jordan Eberle?
Anybody on Calgary we could get Halleck? Forget the second round pick. Anybody on Calgary?
I don't think the Flames are trading Johnny Gaudreau. So
Johnny Gaudreau, not for your lock.
Right. So, no. I mean, who's that elite forward that they're going to get?
I don't know. These guys don't grow on trees.
No, they don't.
I mean, they clearly don't.
They don't.
Maybe they should throw $12 million here at Stamkos on July 1st.
I would do it. I'm sorry. I really would. The more
Brower.
I think about it. Like, yeah.
David Perron.
Oh. He's a guy that just hasn't fit anywhere he's been.
And
right?
He won't fit here either.
Yeah, probably not.
Get him out of here.
I'm just
trying. I don't want any of these guys, Brian.
I'm a glass half full kind of person.
But then again, I just complained that the roster has no top six forwards on it, and I just threw the free agency list on the floor. So who knows what I'm looking for.
You don't
for.
Like Lucic?
No.
Really?
No. I think he's a goon.
He's a goon?
I don't like him.
Wow.
I think he's a goon.
Michael, we're going to be back in about a month. We'll be back in about a month. We'll do a show right before the draft. How's that sound?
Okay, and when we do that show, I will have a list of guys that are available via trade at the draft. I didn't come with that today.
You think the Rangers will be in on Stamkos?
Oh, absolutely. They got no cap room, Brian. How could they fit Stamkos?
Right,
they
would have to trade Nash and buy out Girardi.
And who's taking any of those contracts? I don't think the Rangers are in the mix on Stamkos, buddy.
You can check out Rangers Blue Line with myself, Nick Lucchese, and Adam Rotter. You can find both shows on the SNY.TV Hockey Podcast channel. Just search SNY.TV Hockey or wherever you listen to your podcast. Michael, see you in a month.
Bri, what a great year. I had a lot of fun, and we open the book on the new year when we come back for the draft.
Michael, you made this show infinitely better, so I thank
well,
you very
I
much.
I appreciate that, Bri, but it's a team effort. It's me, you, it's Jay, it's all the guys.
Thanks to Jay and everybody else who makes this show great, and thanks to the fans who would stop us in the hall at Barclays and say how much they like the show.
Tell your friends, please. All you guys that came up to
me during
the playoff games. Obviously, I was very noticeable with the orange jacket. But I thank all the people that came up and talked to me this year. I loved it. And I can't wait to do it again next year, buddy.
Enjoy the warmer weather, everybody. Be Comp and Carver out.
This has been the Islanders Point Blank Podcast, part of the SNY.TV Audio Network.